You know, it was 27 years ago, I can't even believe it myself, that I learned one of the most important lessons of my entire life. I was with a good friend of mine. He and I just graduated from high school. We had our backpacks on, full of everything we could possibly stuff in the bags, and we walked out to the highway about 2 or 3 miles from the town I lived in the middle of Iowa. And we stuck out our thumb, and we headed west. We had dreams, all kinds of dreams of what we were going to see and all the adventures that were ahead of us. Finally, we got to our destination in the back of pickups, being driven by questionable characters. And we ended up in Estes Park, Colorado, in the mountains. I'd seen Jeremiah Johnson 7 times, and I was going to be a mountain man. Well, I didn't want to end up in town. I wanted to end up in the middle of the mountains. And my first time in the Rocky Mountains, I could not wait to get into the mountains. So we begin walking outside the edge of town, and we see the sign for Rocky Mountain National Park. We stick out our thumb, and this older couple in a Winnebago mobile home picks us up. We didn't quite exactly fit together. They were the classic mom-pa kettle, and we were your classic hippies with our leather jackets and our beads and our frayed bell bottoms that some of you think are so cool to wear now. I beat you there a long time ago. I even sewed leather patches onto mine. And we're riding, we're talking to these people. They drop us off inside the park, and off we go. So we head up, we get to this first trail, and I looked at Tom, he looked at me, and one of the things that we'd done was, I wasn't into that, you know, powdery, fluffy food that you're supposed to take when you camp. So we filled our packs with a bunch of canned goods, like, you know, SpaghettiOs, Beefaroni, etc., etc. And we're walking along, and I said, Tom, I said, you know what, trails are boring. Okay, look at this. I was just in awe of the massiveness of the Rocky Mountains, the trees, the smell, the wind. And I said, we got to get off the trail. Let's just rough it. Let's just go right where we want to go, right through those trees. Now I figured I was pretty safe because my friend Tom, he was an Eagle Scout. And he goes, sounds like a great idea to me. So off we go. We ignored the trail. And we begin blazing our own. We haven't seen anybody now for quite some time. And things are going along really wonderfully. I mean, it couldn't have been better. We're just out there and we come up on some animals and some elk and some deer, some mountain goats. And all of a sudden, we're in the middle of this briar patch. And didn't notice it. I was noticing everything else. And pretty soon the thorns are cutting into my legs. They're cutting into his legs. And, you know, we're ouch and a few other choice words. And as I'm going to miss one of these thorn bushes, I stepped to my right, the pack shifted on my back, and I did not notice this steep decline to my right. As I caught a look, as I was beginning to fall, I noticed a rapids at the bottom with giant rocks. I was now rolling out of control. Boom, 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 boom. You know, kind of like you see in the movies. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to die. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. It was not a straight drop off, but it was very steep. And I did not know how to stop. And this pack is stuck on my back and the weight, and it's just making me lopsided, like this lopsided barrel. You know, rolling down the hill, and I'm, ouch, and I'm hitting these briars, and I'm hitting rocks, and just as I'm headed for the water, and it's a very fast moving, not a stream, it was this rapids that you might kayak on. I reach out, and I grab a tree, and wham, I feel like my arms are going to rip off from the momentum of my body, and I stop just before I went to the rocks in the water. I'm moaning and my body's in pain. And that was one of the first major lessons of my life after school, and that is, it always pays to stick to the trail. Now, that may not seem like a big deal to you, but in the context of what I want to share with you tonight, it's a really big deal. If you want to get bumped and bruised and maybe killed, then make sure that you choose your own path in life, especially when it comes to relationships. You know the song that Lisa was singing tonight? It's kind of an ironic song. It's the song of the broken-hearted person. You know, it's amazing how dim-witted we can be. I have been the same way. When a girl that I'm in love with and I know she's right for me is engaged to another person, I'm still telling myself, she was meant for me. One day she'll see it in your home, you know. And then it's down the wedding aisle she goes, you're still thinking, she was meant for me. I could count on both hands how many I knew were meant for me. I never got any of them. Life will bump you and bruise you if you do not, when it comes to finding the one, if you don't know the right path to be on, I promise you some of the most serious pain of your life. There's nothing quite like a broken heart. There's nothing quite like heartache when it comes to pain. I'd almost rather deal with almost any kind of pain than heart pain. Than that internal hurt when you know you've either been let down, lied to, deceived, betrayed, rejected, you name it. Or you find out when it's all said and done that the person's not who you thought they were. I was talking with a young person recently. He called me a couple weeks ago to get some advice on a potential relationship. I asked them if I could share this. They said that I could. And this person is just beginning their journey with Christ. So they said, you know, I was at this party and I met this guy, a really nice guy. And you know, he seems to be open to spirituality. I wondered what you thought. So I asked some probing questions and I thought, by the answers to those questions, I found out basically enough to say, you know, I'd proceed with great caution, and in fact, I would just make sure you're just friends. It's never a good idea to start a relationship with a person who says to you, well, you know, I'm open to spirituality, especially when they happen to be male. Sorry, guys, I don't want to give any away your trade secrets or nothing. But, so, that was the last we talked, and 2 days ago, I get another phone call from the same young person. They were asking for my advice again, said, you know, Mark, everything you said turns out is absolutely true. I can't get rid of this guy. He keeps calling me, he's leaving badgering voicemails on my voicemail. I mean, I can't believe I could have been so blind to what this person is really like. And then he left me a voicemail saying, look, can't we just forget about a relationship, just have sex? Does anything surprise us anymore? This is the year 2002. You know, it's just amazing how good things can look on the outside, but how awful they can be on the inside. Sticking to the right path is the best possible way to ensure your success in relationships. And I have three simple verses I want to read to you, then I want to comment on them this evening, how they relate to your life. The first is in Psalm 119 and verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Then we go to Psalm 25. Show me the path where I should walk, O Lord. Point out the right road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long I put my hope in you. Notice he says, lead me by your truth. Point out the right road for me to follow. Psalm 1, one of my all-time favorite psalms, says this. Oh, the joys of the person who does not follow the advice of the stupid, of the foolish, or stand around with sinners or join with scoffers, but they delight in doing what God says. Day and night they think about God's law, God's path. They're like a tree planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season without fail. Their leaves never wither, and in all they do, they prosper. What is the right path for finding the special someone in your life? The right path, the path I'm talking about, is the path of criteria. What criteria will you use to choose this person? Whose values are you going to judge them by? Will you use God's values as found in the Word of God, the Bible, or will you use the culture's values of today? Let me give you an example of what I mean. If I were to flash on the screen, I didn't have time to do this. I didn't know where to get the pictures. If I were to flash on the screen tonight, on the one side here, Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt, and Russell Crowe. And on this side, now I know this is make-believe, but I just want you to bear with me for a moment, Charles Ingalls. I'm just wondering, which one of the four would you choose? Guys, if I were to put on Pamela Anderson in less than her Baywatch outfit on this side, or Carolyn Ingalls, I'm talking about Little House on the Prairie, Carolyn, on this side, tell me, who would you really want to be your spouse? You don't have to answer. Your choice says a lot about your truest values. You see, the world that you and I live in says one thing with their mouth, but they really do want something totally different when it comes to their life. I don't know if you ever get a chance. I'm not advising it. And occasionally I watch Entertainment Tonight, portions of it, just for stories. I'm always amazed. You know, I mean, you want Tom Cruise and Nicole's relationship? Maybe you want Tom and Penelope's new relationship. Do you ever stop to think these people that we call stars and that are so famous and we pay to go to their movies? You ever wonder if Penelope, late at night when she's laying next to Cruise after they've had sex and they're not married, and she scratches her head and thinks to herself as she's watching him sleep, geez, I wonder, Nicole's really beautiful. He left her for quite a while. I wonder if on the next set of his movie, he might fall for someone besides me. In other words, I wonder if he might run off with a young thing like he did with me. I wonder what kind of morals and scruples they'll have. I mean, I guess I didn't have any better. Do you wonder if it ever crosses their mind? You know it crosses their mind. And here's the deal. They decide to play by those rules. They're not idiots. Hollywood is not full of a bunch of idiots. It's full of a bunch of people who decided to play by their own rules. They don't care if they get hurt. They don't care if children get hurt. They don't care what kind of message they send to society. They simply do what they want to do. Then you got Billy Bob Thornton, and Angelique, the nymph, Jolie. I read a lot, just so you know. I'm not making that up. I'm very well read. She could be his father, her father. And all of a sudden, Billy Bob's career takes off, and the drab housewife, oh, you're not good enough for me. I want her. I want lips. That's what I call Angelique, lips. I want Laura Croft. And you wonder, when will these girls get a clue that when the guy's done with them, they move on? That's the legacy of Hollywood. I used to like Harrison Ford. Then I found out what he's up to now. It's like, I like him as an actor, but it's very hard for me to separate a man's life from his life. It's just hard for me to do that. The Russell Crowe in Gladiators, wow, every woman's dream. The Russell Crowe moving in on Dennis Quaid's wife Meg, is not every woman's dream. So you and I, you see, we've got to make an extremely important decision. And that decision is, whose criteria, whose pathway to marriage, because let's just face it, that's what we're talking about, to finding that special someone, am I going to use? Now, I'd be the first one to tell you that when I was 19 and I was doing my hitchhiking, I wasn't sticking to God's path. I was on another path. And if I was honest with you, I was on the path that says, play around, have fun, do just about whatever you have to do to get what you want. And you know, lo and behold, as I'm walking on that path, God starts knocking on my life. You know, He's knocking on my brain, knocking on my heart, and making me start to wonder, what am I doing with my life? And I started to evaluate. I started to think about the path of my life, the path that it's taking. But at the time, I didn't want to think too hard about that because I was having too much fun. Well, I thought it was fun. Then I stepped back and I started to think about, you know, what kind of a person am I really? What kind of a person am I really? Do I really like this person? And I found the more I thought about it, the more I didn't. Let me just share this with you. Do not get caught up with the appearance of things. How things look on the outside are extremely deceptive. Extremely deceptive. I had a friend one time. He's still a friend. And he bought this fancy sports car. He just loved it. All the consumer reports, everything about the car was wrong. Everyone said the car is a lemon. It's a lemon. But he loved it. He ended up sinking thousands of dollars into the car. He bought it based on what he saw. And he told me that later. He said, well, one of the worst decisions of my life. It's just been a money hole. But all his decision was based on what came into his senses through his eyes. Stick to God's path. Remember what really matters. I'm going to tell you now what really matters. God says character really matters. Character really matters. To me, I realize that Carolyn Ingalls is only a movie, fictitious person based on the books of which I read them all. I had to read them in sixth grade for history. And the woman portrayed, many of you, I know many of you grew up watching Little House on the Prairie. You may not want to tell anybody that. You may feel ashamed of that. I'm not. In all my years of television, and about twice as many as yours, that in my opinion was the single best program I ever saw on television. Because it represented an ideal. Now, no one's perfect, but it represented an ideal. It represented a husband and a wife in love, sticking together, working through stuff. Loving each other, loving the family, hardworking, people of integrity, honest, mature, God-fearing. Maybe some of you watched it and you scoffed at it, but I know others watched it and thought to themselves, I wish I could have a family like that. I wish that was my family. Maybe for many of you, and I happen to know because I've read a lot about Michael Landon, simply because I grew up on Bonanza. And I knew little Joe, and I liked Bonanza. I happen to know that Michael Landon made a whole lot of mistakes in his life. He has a very large family. And he wrote Little House on the Prairie because it was the ideal of what he wished his life could have been. His wife, either shortly before Michael Landon died or shortly after, but I think it was before, came to know Christ as a devout Christian. And she's helped her children focus on the positive aspects of their father's life, even though, you know, he made many mistakes. But when I think about who I would want to marry, you know, if I'll just be very honest, I married a Carolyn Ingalls. A type. Kathy is not like her in every way. She doesn't make all her own clothes and go out and milk the cows, you know, stuff like that. She goes to Cub and reaches in for the milk on the shelf, you know. But the kind of woman that's been my privilege to spend the last 25 5 years with, if I include our time before we were married, has been her. But the interesting thing is, she's also got a little bit of Pamela. In a good way. Now, I'm not going to talk about that. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you a little secret, guys. Listen to me very carefully. Any God-fearing woman, any truly God-fearing woman, has a high regard for sex because her God made it. And the Bible's full of stories about it. And in fact, Greg told you this, I can tell you this, I have the statistics at home, but some years ago, Cosmopolitan magazine did a survey and they received literally thousands and thousands of responses. And what they were doing, trying to do is to find out the best they could who had the most satisfying and fulfilling sex lives among women. They sincerely believed that it would be the Sex and the City girls. They really did. Single, swinging, multiple partners. What they discovered was that born-again evangelical Christian women who wrote in by far and away experienced more orgasms than any other type of woman. So what I'm saying to you, is this. You need to decide whose path you're going to choose. Because I'll tell you something. If you choose the wrong one, you're really going to miss out. You're really going to hurt. And I, as I told you before, I could stand up here. I mean, I make my living. Part of how I make my living is counseling people, picking up after disasters. And I could tell you one story after another tonight of individuals who used the wrong criteria, followed the wrong path, and now they'd give anything to change, but they can't. You see, character is what a person is like under pressure. Character is what comes out of a person consistently over time. I'm just going to give you a few things so you know kind of what I'm talking about. First of all, is the person honest? Are they honest? Or do they go through their life faking it? Do they have the courage to say to you, that's really not my preference, I don't like that. I know a lot of ladies, I'm just being frank with you, who are so into pleasing others that they lie. They lie. And I know of ladies that lie simply because they know that the best way to make you happy, they think, is to always say what you want to hear. Then you get deeper into the relationship, you maybe get married to them, and then they stop that habit, and you find out a lot of things you thought they liked, they don't like. So when I say a person's honest, I mean they're honest and they tell the truth, but they're also honest. They have the willingness to go, you know what? I don't live in the fear of man. The Bible says the fear of man brings a snare. There are millions of people who live their life in fear of the opinions of others. That's a dangerous person to have for a friend, let alone a life companion. Because they're afraid. They live in fear rather than saying, oh, you know, I don't really care for that. That's not something I really enjoy. Are they led by their emotions or by principles and truth? Now listen very carefully to this. It is disastrous to be in a relationship with a person who is totally led by their feelings. They cherish feelings over principles and truth, and you're in for a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble if you get into an intimate relationship with a person who is not guided by truth and principles that they stake their life on, but based on their emotions. I could give you an example. One example would be financial decisions. There are many people who don't want to admit that they make financial decisions totally based on the fact that spending money makes them feel good. They don't have the self-discipline to go, you know what? There's a higher priority. Doesn't mean we don't choose our priorities. We should sit back and think what's really most valuable to me. But all of a sudden you find out Their money's just going all the time because they're controlled in this area by their emotions or speech. Now, I'd be the first one to admit, this is a huge challenge for me. This is something that God put me up against the wall and says, got the change mark in your life as a young man. I just, you know, said what I felt like. Wow, can that be disastrous? You know, the Bible says that out of the fool's mouth come foolish words, and they're like the thrust of a sword. But the tongue of the wise soothes and heals. And this young man, if I was really frank, I would just say, I said whatever was on my mind, when it was on my mind, and I just vented whatever I was feeling. The problem with that is that it really hurts people. It hurts them bad. The people you love. I'll never forget the first time this really hit me in relationships. My first girlfriend. And I was one of those possessive kind of guys. In other words, I'm madly in love with you. You ought to be madly in love with me. That means we ought to spend all of our time together. Why would you possibly want to be with anyone else? You'd be with me. If you say you love me, let's be together all the time. So one night she called and said, Mark, you know, I've got to study tonight. So I was trying to work on my possessiveness. So I said, well, okay, that's fine, Gwen. You know, I no problem. You know, we'll go out some other time. We had plans, but she changed them. It's fine. So I went downtown, not a very big town. So I go downtown. I'm cruising down Main. And I look to my right, and there's my girlfriend with her best girlfriend, and they're just walking along window shopping. Now, this is really, really, really bad behavior. I slammed on the brakes, put it in park right in the middle of the road, got out of my car and walked over and said, what are you doing? What are you doing? You said you had to study. Well, I don't know, Mark. I just didn't want to be with you tonight. You what? You didn't want to be with me tonight? So you lied to me? Now, I was 17 and out of control. I got in my car. Well, first I kicked it really hard, dented the door. I got in my car and I revved it. It was a Ford with a 400 engine in it. Revved it in park and rammed it in a drive and squealed halfway down Main Street. Basically, that ended the relationship soon after that. But I'll be honest and tell you that I've almost ruined many a relationship as a young person because I did not control my emotions. Emotions are a wonderful thing. But if you're not a person who learns to be guided by truth and by principles, and you learn how to control them, you'll ruin your life. And you'll take others down with you in the process. Are they a person of integrity? Integrity is what you are when nobody's looking. All of us make mistakes, but what do we really like? What kind of thoughts really go through our mind? What do we really let live in our mind? You know, it's amazing. We'll do in our mind what we'd never do in our life. The Bible says, as a man thinks within himself, so is he. Boy, if we could see our thoughts sometimes, you know, what stories would be told? Are they a lazy person or are they hardworking? Do they keep their word? Are they kind to others? You can tell an awful lot about a person by how they treat other human beings as you watch them. One of the most positive ways that you can get to know the person that you're thinking you might want to marry is in what I call in community. And I may get into this a little more next week. But I don't know if you realize this, but I want to give you just a little mini history lesson. It's only been since about the 1940s that dating even started. That means we're about 62 years into the experiment. Before that, for hundreds of years, there was a couple ways that you got hooked up. One, your parents picked them for you. That still happens in many places today. And two, there was a courting relationship in which the person got permission from the parents, the single person. You gotta understand how different we live today. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that it's different. It creates different challenges. Young single people didn't leave their families. They stayed with them, usually till they were married. And so there was like a chaperone experience going on. And in community, in churches, in church social events and other events, you could see how that person was with other people. But as Greg said to you, and I should share with you my opinion, this is my opinion, dating, the modern rendition of dating, creates a false reality. Let me give you an example. You ever had somebody at work that you ask yourself, how did they ever get through the interview process? Ooh, I'm making sense, aren't I? Do you know how? They faked it. They faked their way through. They lied their way through. You don't get to know the person in an interview process. You find out what they're like watching them work every day. And you stand back and you start to see, what are their habits like? What are their disciplines like? Do they keep their word? Do they cheat? You follow me? When you're in a church like this, I remember when The Rock first started, and it's happening, by the way. I said, many of you, and there was only a few of us then, I said, look around. Many of you are going to meet your spouse here. Everybody's looking around going, oh, geez, are they here yet? This type of environment, and it happens in churches all over the country, is a wonderful environment. If you go about it appropriately, it gives you the chance. Maybe you're in a small group with a person. They don't even know that you are like them, but you watch them. And see, because they don't know that you like them, there's no internal motivation or incentive. You can often find this by how they treat their parents, how they treat their siblings. There's all kinds of other ways. Are they selfish or selfless? Are they responsible or irresponsible? Are they considerate? Does their speech build others up or tear people down? Is it encouraging or is it full of gossip and slander and negativity towards others? The last one, maybe the most important, is do they respect God and God's word? Now I want to explain why this is important. Love is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. My son and I, we were at a leadership meeting today, and one of the guys who was sharing today was really encouraging. And he was just talking about how this life, after you reach our age, and he happens to be my age, he said, as we get older, we begin to realize that everything in life never lives up to our expectations. He was sharing how, he said, you know, I remember, we were talking about Christ's return. And he was sharing, he said, you know, I remember, but this was really hard for me when I was engaged to my wife, because I was like, Lord, it's okay if you come back after the honeymoon. And I knew just what he meant. That touched me. I thought the same thing. I'm there with you, Bran. I'm right there. Well, my honeymoon was 23 years ago. You know what I found out? I found out that everything everyone told me about marriage was true. It's wonderful, but it's a ton of work and it will take you to the wall. And you know what? If you don't have two people who are committed to playing by the rules because they respect God, I promise you, you will experience a depth of pain and sorrow that you only thought was unimaginable. Unimaginable. You see, there are times, and I've explained this before, I love my wife, and I love her. And that's my children. They're witnesses. I love my wife. But there are times that she does things or says things the kids may not even realize, that it bugs me so bad. And, you know, well, it's been happening maybe, and I do the same thing, by the way, for 23 years. What do you do? You know what you find out? You find out a lot of things about your spouse you can't change. So what are you going to do then? Are you going to do what God says? God says, love suffers long and is kind. Did you know that's the definition of love? Love suffereth long. Not me. I go in there. I'm not suffering. There's a song, I think it's by Hooker, John Hooker, or some guy like that, and it goes, that ain't love. Love don't feel that bad. Can't be love. Love don't hurt this bad. Oh, yes, it does. And that's love. Remember the song? Love hurts. Oh, I won't sing it. Anyway, you know the song? That song is the truth. Love hurts. Now, love feels great too, but see, here people say to me, Mark, why do you always say this? Because it don't take any love when love feels good. My gosh, life takes no character at all when everything goes your way. A baby can handle life when everything goes their way. Character is about what you are when nothing is going your way. And there are going to be weeks like that in your marriage. There are going to be periods of time like that in the relationship. And then we separate the men from the boys, the girls from the women. And we find out, you know what, God? Because I love you, because I find nourishment from your word, strength from your word, therefore I stay and I love anyway. I love not because I'm loved by her, because I feel good about her. I love because I respect you, God, and you ask me to do it, and you love me no matter what. Therefore, I have the strength, and I choose to love. That's why I tell you these. I'm not down on marriage. I'm not down on love. I love love. I love being married. I wouldn't change it. I just don't want you to go into it with your eyes wide shut, basing on the wrong information, walking down the wrong path, and then lo and behold, you're scared out of your wits because you realize, oh my gosh, it was true. You want a person of character who fears God, who will allow God to be the referee when the referee needs to say, stop, shut your mouth. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what you got to say. It's not helping anybody. It's hurting people. Shut up. I can't tell how many times God said that to me. So what do I do in that situation, you see? Do I say, you know, screw you, God. Screw you. She deserves this. I've had it. I'm letting her have it. See, God's in my marriage all the time. He's the main person in my marriage. He goes to bed with us. He's in the shower with us. He's in the car with us. God don't ever leave. And there's times that I just have to just bite down on my lip, bite down on my tongue, and calm these icky emotions. Say, you know what, Lord? You called me to love her, and I'm going to obey you. That's character. Now, I'm not perfect in that, but what I'm trying to describe to you is that's character. I want to encourage you this week, if you have the time, maybe make the time, to read the book of Proverbs. I would encourage all of you to start a little habit right now. And the reason I'm telling you this is because you're not going to find this information anywhere else. But if you guys, ladies, gentlemen, if you want to know the difference between a fool and a wise person, if you want to know the difference between a good guy and a bad guy, a good girl and a bad girl, there are 31 days in almost every month. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. My advice to you is to read every day the corresponding chapter to the day. Today is the 16th, so read tonight Proverbs chapter 16 and take out your pen, and you'll be amazed at what you find out that you can tell about people. And what will happen is, as you develop your senses, as you develop your intuitiveness, as you develop your wisdom, you begin to recognize things about people that, wow, you never saw before. You begin to be more sensitized to, you know, that person, that's probably not a good person for me to get into a relationship with. That doesn't mean you don't care about them. Remember, I'm not talking about, you know, we play favorites in the church. It's not about playing favorites, but when you're talking about who you're thinking of marrying, then you need to get real choosy. That makes sense? I hope that makes sense. You know, if I never make sense, please feel free to write me anytime. I mean this. Please feel free to shoot me your suggestions, your advice, your criticisms, any way, shape, or form, anytime. I mean that. I will not lash out at you. For me, the most important thing is that you grasp these things in the way that I mean them, so they really help and they really benefit your life. Next week, we'll finish up this series, okay? And we'll get into some other principles that I think will be very helpful for you as you are thinking you're in the state of life where I'm looking for the one. Let's pray. I'd like to invite you downstairs afterwards if you like. We got lots of free food down there, lots of cool people to meet. And I'd love to meet you and visit with you afterwards if you'd like. Lord, we thank you tonight. You created this thing we call love. You created what we call sex. You created, Lord, marriage. You created us, Lord, emotional people. There's nothing wrong with our emotions. But like a fire hose that's out of control, like a fire, like a spark that can strike a match and set a great forest on fire, so can our uncontrolled emotions be to others around us. Father, I just ask you to give guidance, give strength, give patience, give courage, give hope to each person here tonight. Lead them to that person that you have for them, who you created just for them.